Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we have with us Jo Frid in the studio, and Jo is going to talk to us about the profession of singing and performing. So this is S for singer. Jo has an interesting story because although he loved music and he loved singing from a very, very young age, he actually never really believed that he was as good as he was. And as he grew up, although he performed lots at school and things like that, with the support of his parents, you know, he decided that he needed to get an alternative career under his belt, so to speak. And he therefore joined the police force and had a very successful time, 10 years in fact, in the police force, where he quickly was promoted to the level of detective. And it was really only when someone who was a professional singer suggested to him, because they'd heard him sing, that maybe he might like to sing a couple of songs in a pub, that he actually got back to it. And he said, well, he will explain to you. But once he actually started to sing again, he realised that there was no other alternative for him. And he went on to build a really successful career in singing, and much more than that, actually, because producing as well. So I think you're going to be interested to listen to this because, number one, it talks about somebody who succeeds in something they love, despite maybe lacking in confidence at it at the beginning. And number two, how someone can really, you know, start a career quite later on in life. I mean, he didn't start professionally as a singer until he was 30 years old. And yet here we are now at 34, hugely successful, having performed in front of over 250,000 people. So, Jo, thank you so much for joining us. I would love to hear, first of all, a summary of your career to date, from when you were at school to where you are now. Just give us a rundown of what you've been involved in.
Yeah, of course. So I attended Shenfield School, which is near Brentwood in Essex. And I found that during my time, I didn't have so much interest in academic subjects. I felt like I had to do them, and I always thrived in PE and sport, music and drama and performing arts. That's where I felt I was at my most comfortable.
That stemmed from a very young age, didn't it?
Yeah, I've always loved music. Music's always just healed me, and I've just enjoyed listening and watching performers. I recall I was 8 years old and I watched Moonwalker for the first time, and I was just overwhelmed by what Michael Jackson's ability was to do to a crowd and how much fun they had, how happy he was doing that. And I just loved his music and everything that surrounded him. I was totally encapsulated by it through my, even now, still am now.
And you performed at school, didn't you?
Yeah. I did the amateur dramatics in the school productions, and I'd done it when I was in primary school, and then I took the leap up and I did some singing lessons, and that bug never left me, and I wanted to do more with it. So I threw myself into some auditions and got picked to play some parts up until the sixth form, when I played the Tevye Topol part in Fiddler on the Roof. And
that was quite a large part.
It was, yeah, it was, I mean, I was, I was so overwhelmed to get the part and be entrusted to do it. And I was, I remember thinking to myself, it was, it felt like a job just to do that whole role and to get into the character and to learn the lines. And I think an hour and three quarters I was on stage, and I had about 60 pages of script to read and memorize. And but I loved it. I felt like a proper West End performer, if only for a short few minutes whilst I was up there.
Yeah.
And I felt so comfortable and very happy and very natural on stage.
And you did your GCSEs and didn't do badly within your GCSEs.
No.
And what happened after your GCSEs?
Yeah, I mean, I got my results back and I wanted to go into the sixth form. I felt like I wanted to learn more, but the subjects that I wanted to do. And I didn't feel like it was my turn to work yet. I didn't feel quite ready to go into the working world because there wasn't a job out there that I felt I would be able to do as well as I probably could do, even with some training. So the dramatic arts and the theatre aspect, I wanted to do my drama A levels. I was really interested in sociology and criminology, and I wanted to do English as well. I dabbled with music, but for me, music was more of a singing and a performing thing rather than learning an instrument, as it were. So I went on to do that, and I think I felt like I wanted to gain more out of my education before I left school. That was the reason I stayed.
And did you have in mind what it was that you wanted to do at that point?
Yeah, I sat back and I really wanted to be a performer. I really wanted to be on stage. It was a dream of mine from a very early age. My other career aspirations at the point, I really wanted to be in the police service as well. That was a huge thing. I found it really interesting. I loved to work with people, the challenge of it, of a career like that. And because of the sport that I played and I enjoyed coaching and teaching at my local clubs as well, I really felt like I'd be a good PE teacher as well. So those three careers were running in my head without really knowing which path to take until I left school.
And you were doing, you had the opportunity to do some sort of observation stroke work experience in each of those, didn't you, during your school time?
Yeah, that's right. I recall getting a phone call from one of my family friends through my school, and she invited me to see Whistle Down the Wind at the Apollo and then to watch Cats just before it went off, and Blood Brothers as well, and to meet the cast, to go behind the scenes of the makeup and the choreography and the coaching they do. And I was just so overwhelmed. I was like a kid in a sweet shop. I couldn't believe that I was mixing with these stars.
And isn't it amazing? I mean, that didn't happen out of the blue. Obviously, you would have put it out there that that's what you wanted to do. And so obviously, I always it amazes me that people don't use their family networks and things like that, because that would have come through a family friend, you were saying.
Yeah, that's right. And I would encourage anybody to ask, just ask what connections are available to you. And most people will, nowadays with the social media platforms we've got, will know someone you can contact in order to fulfill that question or whatever you have, the opportunity you want to get, it is just around the corner for you.
And didn't that happen with regard to the police force as well?
It was so weird. I think I was about 18 years old. My mum was selling a car through the local paper, and a gentleman came to pick it up, took it for a test drive. She came back, came through, and she said to me, "Joe, you'll never guess who I've just met." I said, "Oh, you know, who is it?" He said, "The guy that's just agreed to buy the car is a top police driver in Bethnal Green." And he said, "Do you want to go out and do a shift with him?"
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. I phoned him up immediately. I think he wasn't even home when I phoned him up because I was so excited.
Yeah.
And he arranged it for me to go on and do a 2 till 10 late turn. It's called late turn shift. Sat in with a briefing with them all, listened to everything, watched them all get ready. And then I remember we got a call out to this assault incident, and we're in the yard having a cup of tea. He said, "Right, Joe, we've got to go." Got in this car and we were driving the wrong way down this street, setting off speed cameras left, right and centre. And it was in 30 seconds, I turned around and said, "This is the job for me."
Yeah,
without a doubt.
I can imagine how exciting that was. Yeah. Okay, and but again, you know, it sounds fortuitous and sounds lucky, but again, it's sort of, you know, using your network, and your mum's mentioned it because you've been clear that that's something that you were interested in.
And I'm a big believer, and I always have been, more so now, but even back then, in if you visualize what you want, having that strong visualization of what career aspirations you have, no matter how weird or wonderful it is, especially with performance and singing, it's always been something where I've always tried to visualize the person I want to be, the venues that I want to sing in, the people that I want to mix with. It doesn't happen overnight, though. It's a gradual progression.
Just constantly focusing
on
it.
Constantly going after that until all of a sudden an opportunity knocks and am I ready for it or am I not? And that's the key.
So you got to 18. Yes. You'd had this really exciting sort of experience, you know, witnessing what goes on in the police force.
Yeah.
And you'd also had some of this opportunity to sort of observe theatre, etc.
Yes.
And you had to then make this decision as to what to do next. So what happened there?
Yeah, I hate to say I very much went for the safer option, but at the same time, I felt very excited. A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine at the time, was also joining the police at the same time as me. And I felt that that was the career that I would be very good at.
I know we're not here to talk about you know, the police force this time, but you were there for 10 years and, you know, you made it to pretty senior level very quickly, detective level 3 years in. Just give us a very quick idea of the sorts of things that you, you know, you're involved in.
So I was very privileged to work in a great team at Barking and Dagenham and then at Ilford and then Westminster. I was just dealing with everyday crimes and investigations, and I got an opportunity, play it by default, if you will, but I got an opportunity to work within a unit that specialised in investigations, and I loved having the confidence and the onus put on me to investigate something. I loved being given the responsibility to deal with someone's crime, as weird as that may sound.
So this was a great career and you did it for 10 years.
Yeah.
But there was this other thing drawing you. So how did you make that transition?
Yeah.
What prompted that?
I, very serendipitously, I was singing, had always been something that I'd enjoyed doing still, and I kind of did in, dare you say, singing in the shower. I did it in close forums. I didn't really want anyone to listen or hear. I wasn't happy with, I could sing, but I wasn't, didn't ever take myself seriously as doing it anymore.
Isn't that interesting that you were, well, you didn't,
yeah,
sort of...
No, I never had any time for it. I just thought that it was a bit of fun. That was what I treated it as, a bit of fun, but I still loved that performance. That
it made you feel good and you loved it.
The same adrenaline feeling that I got going to a call in the police was the same as I got on stage.
Right.
It's the only two times I've ever experienced that emotion being put in place. And a friend of mine, through my wife, invited me to one of her shows and said to me that if you want to sing a few songs during my show whilst I have a break, great, you know, be more than welcome to.
And how did she know you could sing?
So she'd kind of heard I could sing through my wife, and she knew I had a bit of an interest in it, but no one really did. I think it was something, again, that I kind of told a few people about, and I never really made a big deal about it. And she
People were surprised when they found out you could sing.
Literally,
things,
I mean, especially when I first started doing it and doing gigs in the police, everyone was, "Oh, you can sing, all right." And unlike any other job in the world, the first question someone asks you, "Oh, go and give us a tune."
Yeah.
So it was, but then that was cool, because I learnt then that if you're ever given the opportunity and someone says to you, no matter where you are, if you go into a restaurant and try and get a gig, and someone says to you, "I'll go and sing us a song," to be able to do it on the spot and have something ready for them.
Wow, excellent. So she asked you to sing alongside her in this gig. And, I mean, how did that make you feel? Were you excited, nervous?
Like I was 8 years old again. I'd knowing I was singing to a crowd and just being able to, I always say, do my thing. I perform in front of people and have everyone singing along and enjoying themselves and up dancing. I finished three songs and I wanted to do 30 more.
Mm.
I just couldn't wait to do it again. So I asked the same pub, "Can I come back and do a gig for you myself?" And I asked around all the pubs that I'd ever drank in or ever knew about. And, you know, this is me. I haven't got anything to show you, really. You know, I can send you a CD that I've made with two songs on it that I've recorded in a friend's home studio, but I've got nothing else. Would you give me a chance? And that's literally how I went about getting gigs to start off with. I just asked for that opportunity.
And you were doing this alongside your career in the police.
Yeah.
And then you decided to make that jump.
Yeah, I was working 12-hour shifts in the police and then doing a 12-hour shift, 2 hours rest, 6 hour show, 4 hour sleep, rinse and repeat at the weekend. Mm. So totally and utterly consuming. But I've always said you make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
If you want it, you make the sacrifice. It's non-negotiable. Because there's always someone working harder than you who wants it more than you do.
Mm.
And it's proving yourself, not just to you, but to everyone else that you want to employ you. So I just decided, once logistically it wasn't possible to sing, take time off work, adjust my shifts, I was given an ultimatum and said, look, you can't carry on to do this anymore. And weirdly for me, I think they all thought, oh, he'll stop doing it now. I walked out of the meeting and I'd say to anybody listening to this, once you know in your gut that the decision is right to make, make it.
Mm.
Because you should always follow your heart with a decision that you want to make, because it's, if it means so much to you that you wake up thinking about it and you go to bed thinking about it and you've got that hunger for it, you've got to do it. I'd done 10 and a half years and I thought, this is the crossroads in my life that I really have to make a massive decision to either stay in what I'm doing. It wasn't making me happy anymore. I was.
And isn't it great though, because you know, this is such a good example of how people just meander and do different things.
Absolutely.
Which all sort of start to add up to where they are now.
Yeah.
And we'll talk in a minute about the things that you learned during the, you know, your time with the police.
Yes.
Which actually made the difference.
Yes.
In terms of your success now and your current role. But so tell us about your current role. It isn't just about being on stage, is it?
No.
There's so much more to it. So let's start with, you know, how often are you on stage and what goes on behind
so
the scenes?
I would honestly say I've got the best job in the world in my eyes. I spend roughly 3 to 4 hours a week actually performing. So on stage, songs. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday are kind of like my Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm. And how many live performances have you done?
I'd say close to just over 1,000 in the last 7 years.
And what's been your biggest audience?
Last year I sang to, I think, 30,000, I think it was.
Wow.
Heart FM asked me to do a roadshow with them a couple of years ago, and I hadn't had the opportunity to do the one in Southend-on-Sea in Essex, and I was asked to do it, and I rocked up 2 hours before the performance. It was busy then. I didn't realise the magnitude of the crowd until Martin and Sue, the presenters, introduced me, went on stage to sing 3 songs. So it's, you've got 9 minutes to impress. That's what I say. 3 songs, 9 minutes to show them what you've got. And I went on stage and I remember taking this selfie on my phone of the crowd in this video and being totally overwhelmed by the support and the energy that was out there, and performing for 10 minutes and just feeling like I was on a cloud.
Mm.
It was just...
And that was 25,000 people.
Everything I'd wanted to be from when I was 8 years old. This is your opportunity. Seize it. Just enjoy it. Do the best you can.
Yeah.
Walked away and that buzz for the rest of the day. And it's...
Amazing.
It was just so taking the opportunity up and was so much fun. So much fun.
And but what you were saying is that you know, you're on stage, probably you're getting that amazing feedback, but you're on stage maybe, you know, 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that you do in the background. What sorts of things are you doing?
So in the last few years I've progressed to a point where I manage and produce events for companies. They come to me and say, Joe, we want you to do a swing show, or we want you to do a wedding for us, or we want you to do this corporate show for us. And so we will have a planning meeting. We will look logistically at, first of all, what we want to achieve from that, and then how we're going to go about doing it.
And that would incorporate all aspects of the event,
all aspects of event planning, organising, looking at what people you want in, how you're going to advertise, what your strategies are to do that, how to make it cost effective, and how to make sure that for what people are paying, for what they're going to get for their show, they go away amazed and feeling so satisfied with what they've received.
Maybe people might think that to be a good singer, you just happen to be gifted with a great voice and you walk up on stage, but there's all of this other aspects to the role. And what I wanted to ask you is, you know, how did you achieve the ability to do all these things, you know, all this planning and recruiting and, you know, that's probably where your previous experience came
in,
isn't it?
I think the ability to man-manage and the ability to be able to speak to people and have confidence to speak to people and feel very confident in what you're talking to them about. And I've had situations shoved on me when I've had to break the worst possible news to adults and interview people under extreme pressures, knowing what's on the line. And I've learnt to be confident. I've learnt to be self-assured and feel empowered by what I'm trying to achieve.
So when you go on to stage and maybe you've got hecklers, or maybe the music, something goes wrong with the music or the lighting, as far as you're concerned, you're able to put these things in perspective.
Yeah, you put yourself into a situation where you think, what's the worst thing that can happen? And you learn that in performance, messing up, not getting it right is all part of it. It still happens now. It's how you deal with that.
What would you say is the absolute best bit of the whole role?
Watching people enjoy themselves. Weddings especially, and functions where watching people who haven't seen each other for ages, and watching that energy, you know, to be part of their day, to be entrusted to having produced the whole day to fit their bespoke requirements, and to give them an experience that they'll never forget. You've got photographs and videos of it, to know that you've been part of their day and you've affected and you've been part of that history. You can't possibly put that. I've always said, if you could put that emotion into a bottle and sell it, you'll never have to work.
That's lovely.
You know,
yeah.
It's just that feeling you get.
And what would you say is the biggest challenge?
Trying to improve, setting goals for yourself, motivating yourself, and never being satisfied with what you're doing. The thing is, we've planned Christmas already. We're working on next year already. So you're always working 6 months, sometimes 12 months ahead.
Does it stress you always wanting to improve, or is that, does that drive you?
It drives me, because I've always said that if you're satisfied, you won't try hard. And I always try, and you know, I want to go into work in the West End in future, and I want to go and do more work in management, and I want to be a better singer, and I want to go and work into bigger and better venues. And fame doesn't interest me by virtue of being recognised. I want to work with the best, and I want to be associated with the best venues and the best clients that I find inspire me, and the opportunity so that I can try and bring my performance and my music and things that I love to people, and hope that they enjoy it too.
Mm. And in terms of sort of attributes, things that are going to make someone a success in this field, you've already mentioned some of them, but what are the key ones, would you say?
Resilience, being able to bounce back from situations, especially when you've got contracts in place and you've got work coming up and things happen, contracts cancel, and picking yourself up from bad comments, going to an audition that you get declined from, and realizing that you are extremely talented and that you are worth it and that you should keep going. It's so easy to give up and say, I'm not good enough. So easy. Determination is key. Always wanting, so to improve, and motivating yourself to a point where you're so determined to be somewhere you're not ready to be yet, preparing yourself for that jump. Another thing I would encourage anyone to do, don't wait, do it now. Don't wait for another year, 2 years, 5 years out of university. Do it now. Start singing, start performing, start making inroads. The quicker you do it, the sooner you'll know and the more you'll learn about yourself. But time just goes.
I'm sure that we have now got people sitting listening to this who are now inspired.
They've
been thinking about this as a career path,
yeah.
And maybe have been afraid to do it, or things like that. What would you say to them in terms of the next steps?
Have fun. Go out and sing, even if it's in your bathroom or in your downstairs kitchen with a backing track. Don't be afraid to put your work online. Shoot videos, put them on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Get your friends involved. Get them circulated. Try and go viral. The internet is a playground out there. If it was there when I was a kid, when I was sort of having that, I might have chosen to do something different. But now, and the best thing is, it's free. You know, you don't need to spend fortunes on advertising and marketing to get your work out there and to be appreciated and get followers. So I would say that get in contact with singers, get in contact with people in your area that you know are singers or that you know are involved in music. Ask them for their influences and if they're performing anywhere, and can you come along and watch them perform live, or if you're interested in what musicians do during the week or what singers do to perform, ask them. Approach someone you know.
Maybe ask to help them with their planning.
Absolutely. You know, everything from setting up your, your equipment, learning how to set up your production stuff, learn to set up your live sound, to getting it there, having it all arranged neatly, to what mindset you need to put yourself into to be successful. And that's the most important thing I'd say.
Would you say that it's advisable at the beginning to actually do another career, work, you know, and try to cultivate some of these organisational skills, or does it not matter?
It's a, you know, that's a really tough question, and on one I can only answer. Everyone has their own life skills and their own opportunities. Circumstances range. So one person might be in the position to be able to go into work and have some financial security within family, so they don't necessarily have the burden of that. I would encourage everyone to go for it and to get yourself out there, get yourself noticed, and to ask people for help in doing that as well. Sometimes it's easy to crack. Sometimes it's easy to find work. Sometimes there's not much work out there. But learn. Don't just pigeonhole yourself into one thing. I would say that if you've got vested interest and you enjoy music and singing, but you also enjoy, you want to go into beauty, you want to go into, you know, you want to go into retail or fashion, whatever the case may be.
Do both.
Do everything.
Yeah. Why close it off at the beginning?
Do so much. You know, life's there to enjoy and to be happy with, and you've got to experience everything. And it will, once the right opportunity comes up, it will grab you and it will let you know.
And you'll know.
Exactly.
Okay, Joe, thank you so much for that. Where can people, you know, see your work and contact you? Should they, I'm sure that they're going to be inspired and want to hear you for a start. But if they want to ask you any questions, where should they go?
Of course, I've got a website, and that's at www.joefrid.co.uk. I'm on Twitter at Joefrid, on Instagram at Joefrid. My YouTube channel is userjoefrid23. But if you Google me and you spell it F-R-Y-D, Joefrid, you'll be able to find everything you need to know from there.
Perfect. Again, thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And I mean, I've heard you sing. I've had the pleasure of hearing you sing, and it is fantastic. So everybody, you'll have that treat once you click off here. Click on and listen to some of Joe's songs. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.